We don't have to have everything. If we only if we had this.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gina Dana, and this is Environmental Hub's Green Spot. This podcast is designed to highlight the most pressing environmental issues facing our world. We're going to be talking with professional environmentalists and activists, as well as other members of our global community, about today's major issues. Prepare to get active. On Blog Talk Radio. This is Environmental Hub. We are on Facebook, and to give you a little backstory before we get into our great show today, I want to tell you that 9 months ago we started with six people. Today we have over 515 members. We started out as Code Plastic to deal with the plastic in the ocean and in our lives and the BPA and all the things that plastic and the oil industry is doing to us. But the subject matter became very restricting. My first member that was from outside of Western New York, where I live with my husband Richard, was John Bob Carlos. He's a wonderful environmentalist and a photographer in the Everglades. He brought a lot of people to our group, and he opened me up to other parts of this world besides my own, and I am forever grateful. I consider John Bob to be a co-founder of Environmental Hub. When the subject became too restricting, he suggested that we become a networking group instead of just plastic, and it was the best thing we could have ever done. We have people from all over the world. We have people from Costa Rica, from Egypt, California, Florida. We have many members from Florida, and that is what today's show is about. It's about the water crisis and the environmental havoc that Governor Rick Scott is playing on Florida and the people. And I don't think a lot of people know about this because the media is very good at hiding this. It's not on the national news. Many people in Florida probably do not even realize that Lake Okeechobee right now is spilling toxic soup into both the St. Lucie and into the Gulf of Mexico. And it is destroying the ecosystem. There are dolphins and all kinds of water, marine life coming up on shore, and it's very sad for the people of Florida, and there's not much we can do about this at this point. It's U.S. sugar, and it's U.S. sugar's back pumping from their fields all of their toxic fertilizers and pesticides into the Lake Okeechobee. And when the water comes, they have to drain it because they can't let the dikes break. So that's what happens. And they just let this toxic soup out into Florida. And I don't see an end to it. It's very sad. It's taken a long time for me to even realize what is going on in Florida. It's a very complicated subject. Now, today, we have with us, we have Betty Osceola. And she's Miccosukee Seminole from Florida, and she is a wonderful and passionate environmentalist. She is the co-founder of Say No to Vogue, which is opposition to the River of Grass Greenway. If anyone doesn't know about this, it's a redundant highway that has been proposed to go right along between Miami and Naples. They already have the Tamiami Trail. This is very redundant and unnecessary. And it is overdeveloped. The plan, and to me, and I will say it right out, I think it is a highway with amenities for filthy fuel and for the fracking industry to get into the Everglades. And this has been her largest opposition. Also, she has Walk for Mother Earth, which was a peaceful protest where they walked from Naples to Miami. And today, after we listen to her audio, Betty is going to be with us and talk about the next peaceful protest, which will be Walk for Future Generations. So that'll be wonderful to hear about. We also have Cindy Lenz. Now, Cindy Lenz is from Jensen Beach, and she is a award-winning documentary filmmaker. She's a wonderful writer. She has, on Facebook, she has River of Life, and she's also the editor for treasurecoast.com. And it would be wonderful to talk to her. We'll talk to her in the second half of the show. So right now, and let's see what time it is, we're going to start Betty now, and you'll hear Betty talk about her experiences and what it's been like to live in the Everglades and to really live off the land and to see what is happening to her world and to our world. And we really need to listen to Betty. So here we go. Without further ado, Betty Osceola.
We don't have to have everything. If we had this, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy just to have this. And if we change that mentality, you know, maybe then, you know, with the issue of trying to produce more and trying to, you know, use toxic chemicals that is going to be damaging to our environment, damaging to the people, if we start realizing that the value of the humanity in a situation is more important than the monetary, then maybe, you know, things will be much better. And here you have the issue where Florida is in this battle, you know, are you going to allow fracking or not? And it would think that, I would hope that Florida would learn from what happened to their community, where their water system is poisoned, where they have more high incidence of cancer. You know, it's happened in other places. And, you know, Florida shouldn't want to allow it to happen here. People who live in Florida need to realize that if you have no more water here in Florida, no more drinkable water, where are you going to go? How many millions of people are you going to move? You got to protect what you have here. And that's what's, you know, scary, you know. You know, one little situation up north here, northwest of here, could has the potential to affect many people, animals, plants, south of it, here in the Everglades. You know, water, you know, the nature has no boundaries. You know, if you pollute one area, you know, it's not going to say, oh, I got to stay here. All this water is all connected across the planet. It travels. It doesn't stay in one place. So it's just like, I give people an example. When Mount St. Helens blew, that ash, it went around the world. That's a good example. We saw it here in Florida. Ash was coming down here in Florida. So if you have that pollution north of here, eventually it's going to make its way to other areas. And you can see, and sometimes, you know, kids, you know, make a little experiment with their bottle and their message and have that bottle go somewhere totally where they didn't think it was going to go. So you have to learn how to understand and understand nature and how things work around you, because, you know, you may think you can contain it, but sometimes nature has a way of undoing what you think you're going to do, and you have to learn to live with that and to work with that. And to me, it's scary because I think of my, you know, myself, you know, I'm halfway through my lifetime, but I have my kids and my grandkids, and I think about and I worry about what kind of life are they going to have. You know, at least now we can have some clean water, we can have food. But if Florida destroys that water, you know, when my youngest grandchild, who's 2 years old, when she's 20, I think about, you know, what's life going to be for her? You know, where is she going to live? You know, if Florida destroys itself, you know, then, you know, where is she going to go? Because this is all she's known. This is all I've known. You know, I'm probably going to stick it out and, you know, be here and, you know, hopefully, you know, collect rainwater or whatever. But, you know, Florida needs to realize, you know, you're talking about oil, but in the end you're talking about water. Florida is at the beginning of a water war. It's coming. And people need to realize that you're going to be fighting over water, because of the oil issue and everything else that's going on. Water is going to be the hot commodity here in Florida. When I say bring people to the Everglades, I said Florida is like California. California doesn't have water. Florida has all this water, but eventually we're going to be like California, that we can't drink this water. So in essence, we're going to be without water. So it's just the same thing. And people need to wake up and respect themselves, respect the rights of their future generations. It's not about all of us today. It's about, you know, what we're going to leave for our future generations and for those around us. So, you know, Florida needs to wake up really fast. In order to survive out here, you have to have water. You have to have the land. You have to be able to survive on it. And the Miccosukee people, we always talk about the ecosystem, and I understand, you know, there's a very important word that people like to use because they want to, you know, produce more oil, want to produce more energy, and it's good for the economy. And I was learned from another gentleman, and who's an environmental energy engineer, and he used the word economy. But he used it in the sense of what its original definition was. The economy is not how the definition is today. The original one is economy is taking care of home. And the Miccosukee people, we've always grew up with taking care of home, taking care of what's around you. And I always now, by understanding that, I always explain to people, in order to have an economy, you have to have a place to have the economy. You have to have a home. You have to take care of it. If you have the fracking, if fracking is allowed unregulated, if you dump all those chemicals into the aquifers, people are not going to be able to drink that water anymore. The aquifer, the pressure around it with the Everglades and the surrounding water, there's going to be times where there's not enough pressure to keep those chemicals in that aquifer. That limestone is not solid. It's very porous. So those chemicals are going to can seep out and travel to other places. You know, the concept that they're trying to sell, that, you know, they can inject those chemicals there and they won't go nowhere else, that the ground is not, that it'll stay in that one location. It won't. The ground is, I believe the term they try to use is permeable. It can absorb and soak. So it's going to travel to other sources, and it's going to contaminate, and you can actually destroy a lot of communities. And we think about people, you know, if you think about the climate here, and what for my people, you know, we survive out here. We've learned how to manage and be out here. But then, you know, our people, we think about everyone else as a whole. And I think about, you know, the families that are just barely surviving. If you destroy their water where they can live, where are they going to go? They don't have the resources to pick up and move. The polluters, they're going to come in and do what they do, and they're just going to leave. But everybody that's here is going to have to live and deal with the situation that they caused. And that's very concerning to me, because we're for us, the indigenous people, you know, we care about everybody, not just ourselves. And I think about, you know, I have grandchildren. And I think about the families. If they're in a community that get affected like that, their kids, what's going to happen to them? You put their parents in a situation, their families in a situation that they have to figure out what they have to do is best for them. And to me, that's a very sad thought, to have to put somebody in that kind of situation. And instead of trying to produce more and more and more and figure out how to take, you know, it would seem to make more sense if we start realizing that, you know, it's okay not to have everything. It's okay, like out here, you know, to be out here, you know, you don't need electronics, you don't need a game, you know, you don't need your phone, and, you know, it's okay. You know, this is beautiful. This is rich in itself. Back in the earlier days, all we asked was just to be left alone, to be who we are. And for us, I look at it from a cultural standpoint. as of how, you know, my grandkids, I want them to, I would love for them to be able to hunt and fish off this land, survive off this land, but it's not possible. You forced me to get away from my traditional foods, from having to go out and buy their food. And then with the fracking issue, right now there's a concern that I had and we submitted public comment on, I did personally, is the seismic testing that they want to do in the Big Cypress National Preserve. And there's an area called Raccoon Point, and they want to look for more oil reserves. Out in these areas, my ancestors are, there are burial grounds everywhere, and all in the Big Cypress Preserve. And not only looking at what additional drilling could do to the environment, potential spills, or even the threat of maybe they want to bring fracking in there. We don't know. Or maybe they want to look at piping out natural gas. Who knows? But also when they're going to go to do the seismic testing and take out those thumper trucks, they're going to go into areas where my ancestors are laid to rest. And you know, and for me, you know, that's kind of a disrespect to our people, our way of life. And they say they're going to be sensitive and try to avoid areas. And if they find any archaeological surveys, you know, if they have to do that, they'll be, you know, respectful. But I liken that to this. What if, you know, the indigenous people just went into the city cemetery and started doing stuff and digging up things? We'd be arrested and there'd be a big protest and we'd be shut down. But here it seems to be, the mentality seems to be, you know, okay to do that.
All right. Now we have Betty. Betty,
yes,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. Betty Osceola, and you have the floor here. Just tell us what you want to say.
Well, In this month, in a couple weeks from now, we're going to be holding another walk across the Everglades. This year, we've added a couple more miles. Instead of 75 miles, we're actually going to be walking 80 miles. And the first time we did our protest walk, it was to bring attention to the River of Grass Greenway, and because it was a project that not many people had heard about. And this year, we're still protesting the Greenway because they're still trying to build that multi-user pass across the Everglades. But this year, it seems that there seems to be so many issues that are threatening the fragile ecosystems of Florida. So we decided to also highlight the issues of for the water. You have two estuaries further up northern Florida. You have the Caloosahatchee and the St. Lucie, and they're suffering from all the discharges from Lake Okeechobee that they're getting, and they have a lot of fish die off, a lot of seagrass die off, and it's very difficult to watch that unfold. And as well, here in the Everglades where we're at, we have a lot of flooding. We're in an El Nino year. So this is supposed to be our dry season, but our tree islands are underwater. The animals are dying. They're suffering. And so there's all so many issues here that we decided to include those and highlight those issues in our walk. And also with the situation for our burial grounds, also late last year, 2015, a bill was introduced that we didn't find out about until January of 2016, where they wanted to pass legislation that would allow anyone to just pay $100 and get a citizen's permit, and to be able to, if they went into burial grounds or wherever, they called it unsubmerged land. But you have to remember, once all of Florida was all submerged, so that would open the door to the entire state, not just on the coast or riverbed that people are thinking. And also these individuals would be provided a map by the state of Florida that would basically a treasure map showing where all the existing known burial grounds are. And we were able to get that Senate Bill 1054, I think House Bill 803, we were able to get those bills killed. But then just a few days ago, that same language of those bills, the archaeological artifacts bill, wording was taken from that bill, and they tried to attach it to another bill, Senate Bill 1050, which has nothing to do with archaeological resources, and they tried to, I guess, pull a fast one and sneak that language into a separate bill, and we were able to get that Senate sponsor to withdraw her amendment. So those are ongoing situations that we're facing, and that's one of the many reasons why we're walking again, and it's called Walk Generations of All Life. That's for people, for animals, for the plants, for all of Mother Earth and the Creator's creation. And it'll be from March 20th through March 25th. And we're asking people to come and walk with us. If they can't walk, we're going to have several different protests going on during the walk. If they are able to come and lend their support, maybe hold a sign, we're asking them to do that. Or even as much as just if they're not able to travel to us, at least share out the event and try to get as much word of mouth out there as possible. And that would be a great help to all of us. Because right now, if you look around the entire Mother Earth, the entire world, you know, many people are waking up that we need to wake up and do something to help save Mother Earth for all of our future generations. And you see indigenous people around the world starting to, because we see ourselves as caretakers and the guardians of Mother Earth. And you now are seeing a lot of that's why you see a lot of the indigenous voice speaking out and trying to educate and try to do something to, you know, defend Mother Earth.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I have the honor of joining you, and I can't wait to meet you, Betty. That's going
to
be
We can't
wonderful.
Wait to have you. We have a lot of people traveling. Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for being our first spotlight on our very first podcast. And you don't know what this means to me. So, and it's just
it's an honor for you to have me on.
Well, thank you, and I hope I'll have you on again soon. But we need to get Cindy on. If she's here, I don't need
her. Okay.
So, but
all right. Thank
so
you.
Much. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay, are you with me?
Oh, yes, now we have Cindy Lenz, and Cindy is from Jensen Beach, as I said in the beginning of the show, and I'm going to let Cindy have the floor because we don't have much time left. And
we don't have much time, so I'm going to actually kind of shorten what I was going to say, but before I say anything, I just want to say to Betty Osceola, I just have so much incredible love and respect for her. And I'm sitting here in a puddle of tears after listening to her talk. So I'm so honored that she's including us, the people that are getting the discharges, in her walk. And I'm just honored, Betty. So let's just take it from there. I'm just going to say like a quick hello, and then next time we'll just kind of get into things a little bit more. But my name is Cindy Lenz, and I'm from Boston. I moved to Florida in the mid-80s. I lived in Miami, I lived in Broward, and then I moved to Boca, and I lived there for 25 years. I'm a home health psych nurse, a blogger, and I'm an award-winning documentary filmmaker. So, and right now I'm the editor of a site called treasurecoast.com, where I just moved, and what I'm trying to do is educate. My main job is to educate the people about the water, about the environmental issues, and the person that runs the site gave me a gift because he gave me a huge, you know, I had a blog and I had a lot of people, but now I have a lot of people, so I get to educate people more and also get people out to vote. So what's going on in Jensen Beach? Well, what's going on here is we're getting discharges from Lake Okeechobee. And that means we have a big lake in Florida, and we have there was construction done. Originally, the river grass, I'm sure Betty explained, it started in Orlando. It goes all the way to the Florida Bay, and it literally was a river of grass, okay? Man came in. He messed up the plumbing, okay? And now what we have is So we have like a canal that starts in the St. Lucie. It goes, you come in through the St. Lucie, you can take it all the way to Lake Okeechobee, and then you go to the other side and you can go out. And that's good for boaters. But what happens is that the dike, which was originally, it's an earthen dike, and it's still, a lot of it is an earthen dike, even though the Army Corps of Engineers has put billions of dollars into it. When it gets too high, the Army Corps of Engineers freaks out because they're afraid it's going to break and it's going to kill people, which it had done in the past. We actually have the people in our burial ground in Martin County who died that were from the flood that happened there. But what happens to us is that we get the water from Lake Okeechobee, and it's filled, and it's filled with pesticides and fertilizers and stuff like that. But what kills us is the salinity of the water is destroying everything in there. This has been going on for 50 years. But the first time it happened for me a few years ago, the discharges came, and our entire river and lagoon turned into green toxic algae, which is poisonous. It was like being surrounded by poison. And our economy literally tanked here. And that stopped. We finally got cleaned up again. So what happened in the last few weeks, and I'll talk really fast because we're kind of running out of time, is that...
I'll tell you, we have 1 minute.
Okay. Yeah, because of an El Nino... I'm going to say it really fast. Because of the El Nino year... We got a lot of water, and because the big sugar farm has held that water up in the Everglades agricultural area, they were totally flooded out, and then they back pumped the water from their fields back into the lake, and that's the water that's being sent to us. So we're getting massive discharges of water, gallons and gallons and millions of gallons of water, and it's destroying us. It's destroying all our oysters and our sea life, and anything that lives in the lagoon.
So sad to hear this, Cindy. And you know, we talked about this yesterday. They need to change the chemicals they're using. They need to go to organic farming in Florida. Let's look at the
I understand that. There's a lot of things that they need to do, but the first thing that needs to be done, and I just want to, that's why I preface this, it doesn't even matter what's in the water. As long as it's fresh water that comes into our lagoon, it destroyed our estuary. We had the most diverse estuary in North America, and it's destroyed. Okay? And nobody really has the right to do that.
I know. Well, Cindy, listen, we're going to have you on next week. Okay? You're going to be the first guest.
Yeah, I'll do it again next week, and we'll do the whole thing next week. But I'm so honored,
Jeannie.
You get
this first one down.
It's fine. It's all good. Thank you so much. And we'll talk during the week, and I'll be on again next Saturday. Okay.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. And I'm going to have to. We have 1 minute. We have a 1 minute and exit. So, but thank you. And this was for a first show. I think this went wonderfully. So
good.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeannie, from Environmental Hub. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye. Well, thank you, everyone. And I'm going to say goodbye now, and we'll see you next week. And hopefully you'll listen to us. Please come on Facebook and look for Environmental Hub and join us. And we don't compete with any other groups. We just network everyone together, and that's our goal. We're all in this together, and that's the most important thing. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. I would like to leave you with a quote and a thought. Environmental issues are not local issues, they are global. Social media activism not only works, it is one of the best ways to outshout the special interests that actively work against our environment. When you see a petition, sign it. When there is a call-in event, pick up the phone and call your legislators. When there is a write-in event, send an email. When there is a peaceful protest in your community, attend. Search Environmental Hub on Facebook and join us. Until next time, wishing you peace and love.